Chapter 1, Early Life, Advent. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada appeared in this world at 3:30 p.m. on 6 February 1874, the fifth day of the dark lunar fortnight in the month of Govinda of the Gaudiya Vaishnav calendar, corresponding to the Bengali month of Magh. He appeared in Puri, the site of the famous temple of Lord Jagannath, and thus one of the holiest places in India, and where Lord Chaitanya had resided for 18 years, absorbed in the highest ecstasies of Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's advent in Puri is particularly significant in light of a statement in the Padma Purana. Sri Brahma Rudra Sanaka Vaishnava Shitipanava Chatvaraste kalo bhavya hyutkale purushottamad. In Kali Yuga, the four Vaishnav sampradayas, which are purifiers of the earth, will appear in Purushottam Kshetra in Utkal, Orissa. Hare Krishna. He appeared in his parents' rented home, which, due to their being pure devotees, continually reverberated with sankirtan. It belonged to Sri Ramachandra Arya, a rich Calcutta businessman who had built it on land leased from the Dakshina Parshva Mat and was situated on Grand Road, hardly a quarter of a mile from Lord Jagannath's temple, just south of the landmark Narayan Chata Mat, and close to the Jagannath Balabh Udyayana, a garden that had been frequented by Lord Chaitanya. At the child's birth, the umbilical cord was wrapped around his body like an upavita, leaving a permanent mark. During infancy, his sizable brain made his head look unusually large in proportion to his body. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's father was the palmary Vaishnavacharya Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, known in secular circles as Sri Kedaranath Datta. As an ideal acharya in the Grahastha ashram, he oversaw an extensive family and discharged important responsibilities as a senior government officer, yet was still prodigiously active in Krishna's service. Every evening, after returning from work, he took his meal, slept from 8 till midnight, then wrote for several hours. By such dedication throughout his life, he composed over 100 books in Sanskrit, Bengali, and English. He also preached widely among both lettered and common folk and was instrumental in relocating and restoring the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had resuscitated Gaudiya Vaishnavism from a three-century gloom, during which it had come to be practiced largely in superficial manner, much removed from the genuine process grounded in scriptural regulations, and had been so severely misrepresented by rogues and charlatans that most educated and discerning persons wanted nothing to do with it. Nearly all who deemed themselves Vaishnavas were followers of diverse upasampradayas, whose butchering of Lord Chaitanya's teachings functioned on exploitation of misplaced sentiments. The severely corrupted forms of Vaishnav dharma gave a cloak of religious piety to various forms of sexual perversity that otherwise could not have prospered in the social clime of that era. Thus, in popular parlance, the designation Vaishnav had come to denote ignorance and dissoluteness. The remaining few genuine devotees were either householders or reclusive babajis who shunned bad association and did not attempt to reform others. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was different. He not only recognized the superlative value of real Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but uncovered, rejuvenated, propagated, and defended the authentic teachings and practices of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. While some educated and religiously committed Hindus of his generation were inspired by the new intercourse with the West to promote Hindu values and teachings to the people thereof, and some Gaudiyas opined that the fulfillment of Lord Chaitanya's prophecy of global sankirtan was nigh, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took up the practical task of scrutinizing the theories of Occidental thinkers in the light of Gaudiya theology, thereby presenting Mahaprabhu's message in a radically new and opposite context. He longed and foresaw events that others might have considered fanciful dreams. The Dharma preached by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is universal and not exclusive. The principle of kirtan as the future church of the world invites all classes of men without distinction of caste or clan to the highest cultivation of the spirit. This church, it appears, will spread worldwide and replace all sectarian churches which exclude outsiders from the precincts of the mosque, church, or temple. Lord Chaitanya did not advent himself to liberate only a few men in India. Rather, his main objective was to emancipate all living entities of all countries throughout the entire universe and to propagate the eternal Dharma. Lord Chaitanya states in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, "In every town, country, and village, my name will be sung." There is no doubt that this unquestionable order will come to pass. Although there is still no pure society of Vaishnavas, Lord Chaitanya's prophetic words will in a few days come true, I am sure. Why not? Nothing is absolutely pure in the beginning. From imperfection, purity will come about. Very soon, the unparalleled path of Harinam Sankirtan will be propagated all over the planet. This is Bhaktivinoda speaking. Oh, for that day when the fortunate English, French, Russian, Prussian, and American people will take up banners, mridangas, and kartals and perform kirtan through their streets and towns. When will that day come? Oh, for the day when the Western fair-skinned men from one side, while chanting Jai Sachi Nandan Ki Jai, will extend their arms and embracing the devotees of other countries, coming from another side, treat us with brotherly feelings. When will that day be? On such a day, they will say, "Our dear Aryan brothers, we have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, who is the ocean of transcendental love. Kindly embrace us." When will that day come? That day will witness the holy transcendental Vaishnav Prem to be the only Dharma, and like rivers meeting the ocean, all narrow creeds will mix with the unlimited Vaishnav Dharma. When will that day come? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's promotion of the pure original teachings of Lord Chaitanya had made some headway in bringing his predictions closer to fruition. Still, his longing for East and West to unite in Krishna Bhakti might have seemed merely quixotic. Then one night in a dream, Lord Jagannath told Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, "I didn't bring you to Puri to execute legal matters, but to establish Vaishnav Siddhanta." Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur responded, "Your teachings have been significantly depreciated and I lack the power to restore them. Much of my life has passed and I am otherwise engaged, so please send somebody from your personal staff so that I can start this movement." Lord Jagannath directed him to pray to the deity of Bimala Devi. In this way, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had appeared in response to the call of Sri Advaita Prabhu, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was sent by Lord Chaitanya to fulfill the prayers of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Even before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's advent, his great-grandfather had predicted from his deathbed that an extraordinary sadhu would take birth in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. An astrologer commissioned to calculate the natal chart declared that the newborn's body possessed all 32 symptoms of an exalted personage, as delineated in the scriptures. Panchadirga panchasukshma saptarakta sadunnataha tri harshva prutugambhiro dratrishma lakshano mahan. The five large parts of the nose, arms, chin, eyes, and knees. The five fine parts of the skin, fingertips, teeth, hair on the body, and hair on the head. The seven red parts of the eyes, soles, palms, palate, nails, and upper and lower lips. The six raised parts are the chest, shoulders, nails, nose, waist, and mouth. The three small parts are the neck, thighs, and male organ. The three broad parts are the waist, forehead, and chest. The three grave parts are the navel, voice, and existence. The astrologer further averred, I have done many horoscopes in my life, but have never before seen one replete with all the signs of an eminent personality. This child will become world famous as a teacher of the ultimate goal of life. The boy was the sixth child in a family of 13, the fourth of eight sons, and third of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's second wife, Srimati Bhagavati Devi. Given the name Bimala Prasad, he was often called simply Bimala, or hippocharismatically, Bimu or Binu, variants thereof. In accordance with Bengali custom, his younger brothers addressed him as Nada, fourth brother. Traditionally, high-class Indian families retained an oral record of their lineage going back to Lord Brahma, the first created being in the universe. After Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Tirubhav, his genealogy was published in an article about him in the Sujanatochini, the spiritual journal he had founded. According to the belief and judgment of the illustrious Hindu family lines, those descending from Brahma via the progeny of Chitragupta were celebrated in Bhartavarsha as Rama Kayastas. Bharata was in the 87th generation from Chitragupta and Bhardwaj in the 88th. After him came Angira and then Brihaspati. In the 149th generation, Purushottam, son of Shivadatta, went to Bengal upon the summons of King Adishura of Bengal. Purushottam's youngest son accepted sannyas with the name Kanaka Dandi. His composition, Saragrahi Vaishnav Mahimashtaka, is extant even today. In the 7th and 8th generations of Purushottam's family, both Vinayaka and his son Narayana Datto were royal ministers. In the 15th generation from Purushottam appeared the son of Kamadev, named Raj Krishnananda, who had an exceedingly pronounced taste for the holy name. Accompanied by his entourage, Sri Nityananda Prabhu came to the home of Raj Krishnananda and bestowed mercy upon him. The 7th generation from Krishnananda saw the appearance of Madan Mohan, whose piety was so famed that it is recommended to remember him in the morning. He was venerated by all the residents in Bengal, especially all respectable persons of Calcutta. He fostered the prestige of Varnashram Dharma by establishing temples and other such structures in Banaras and similar holy places, by having bodies of water excavated in many locations, and by constructing the steps at the Pratishila in Gaya. The generosity and prosperity of his eldest son, Ramatanu, was in recent days spoken of in every home in Calcutta. A great-grandson of Madan Mohan was Ananda Chandra Datto, who gave his third son, R. Thakur, the name Kedaranath. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had appeared in 1838 as the most distinguished descendant of a lineage that was already renowned for both worldly and religious merit. With the advent of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the family line became even further enhanced. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was certainly not an ordinary mortal belonging to a particular race or caste. He was neither Bengali, Indian, nor Kayasta, but a resident of Vaikuntha, come to exhibit the character of the spiritual world and reclaim fallen souls. Childhood and youth. Bimala Prasad was 5 months old at the time of Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra, an annual festival attracting lakhs of pilgrims. His father's house was situated along the parade route on Grand Road. Although the procession usually finishes in a few hours, this time Lord Jagannath's cart stopped for 3 days outside the home of his dear devotee, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. During that period, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur arranged for a continuous Sankirtan festival for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. Taking advantage of the auspicious opportunity, he directed his wife to bring her baby to the cart. Upon being placed at the lotus feet of Jagannath, the infant reached out his tiny arms to touch the feet of the deity. Lord Jagannath immediately reciprocated by offering his own garland, which fell from his body and encircled the child. That same day, Bimala Prasad's Annaprashana, function of eating grains for the first time, was conducted with Jagannath Mahaprasad. Also performed was the traditional ceremony of placing the baby amid various objects such as rice paddy, money, and scriptures to see which one he would clasp as indicative of his future vocational propensity. The child's spontaneous grasping of Srimad Bhagavatam further intimated his devotional inclination. From the wonderful happening on Lord Jagannath's cart, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur realized that this child was Lord Chaitanya's answer to his prayer for an empowered soul to help in his mission. He thus resolved to specially care for this son and from the beginning trained him in pure devotional service. Kids, now are you listening? When Bimala Prasad was 10 months old, his mother brought him by palanquin to Ranagat in Nadia district, Bengal, where he spent his early years. Bimala was not more than 4 years old when an incident occurred that foretold the character of this future acharya. He took a mango before it had been offered to the family Govardhan Srila, for which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur rebuked him. All food is to be enjoyed by the Lord. Nothing should be taken unless first offered to Krishna. You have committed a serious offense. The child became greatly contrite and immediately vowed to never again eat mangoes. In later years, after he had become an acknowledged spiritual leader, he was often offered mangoes, but he always refused, saying, "I am an offender," and quoted, "Ishavasamidam sarvam yat kincha jagat yam jagat, tena tyak tena bunjita magridha kasisuddhanam." Everything within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, one should accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. Even in Bimala's childhood, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur made chanting compulsory for him. In 1881, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had Tulsi beads brought from Puri for Bimala and instructed him in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra on them. He also initiated Bimala into a mantra for worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev. That same year, a Kurmadev Shalagram Shila was unearthed while he was building a house to be named Bhakti Bhavan in the Ramabhagan neighborhood of Calcutta. Although according to social custom, a thus discovered Shalagram Shila or deity of Vishnu should be presented to a member of the Brahmin caste, as only born Brahmas were considered fit to worship such forms, Thakur Bhaktivinoda responded to Bimala's desire to worship that Shila and taught him the process and the appropriate mantras. From that time, Bimala started wearing tilak and following other standard devotional practices, marking his formal entry into Vaishnav Dharma. While still very young, Bimala composed two Sanskrit verses describing the impression of Lord Chaitanya's feet melted in stone within the Jagannath temple. The gist being that Mahaprabhu's heart was so tender in distributing love of Krishna and so distressed at the unhappiness of others that even the stone where he placed his lotus feet became soft and melted with love. Bimala Prasad was clearly not an ordinary boy. He had exceptional ability to remember and comprehend all kinds of topics. His voracious reading and his ability to exactly recall passages he had read only once were to earn him the epithet Living Encyclopedia. Even in his last days, he could reproduce verbatim any part of any book he had read 50 years back. His precocious genius was accompanied by a gravity and intensity of purpose uncommon at such a tender age. Like Prahlad Maharaj and other great child devotees before him, Bimala Prasad did not waste time in frivolous sports or similar nugatory diversions. From the beginning, he was absorbed in fulfilling the mission of human life and spontaneously attracted to Krishna Bhakti. Sri Bihari Das Babaji, the personal servant of Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, described young Bimala. I often saw Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in his childhood in Calcutta at the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur whenever I visited there with Babaji Maharaj. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would wear only a pullover shirt. He struck me as having a serious nature. I was attracted by his effulgence and learning. He was always attached to the holy name. In his earlier years, his frame was very lean. Babaji Maharaj loved him dearly. Once a reputed Babaji noticed that Bimala had failed to pay him obeisance. When the Babaji asked Srila Bhaktivinod why this was so, he was told, because he does not offer dandavat to sahajas. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur saw in this son the potential to carry forward the propaganda work he had begun. Thus he took him to preaching engagements, to holy places, and to meet sadhus, and directed him to apply his scintillating intelligence in studying Vaishnava philosophy and doctrines opposed to it. Young Bimala took naturally to such training, osmotically imbibing his father's mood of full surrender to Krishna and compassionate desire to inspire Hari Bhakti in others. Srila Bhaktivinod also wanted that Bimala receive the best of secular education. The emerging Bengali Bhadraloka placed much importance on Western schooling as the key to success, prestige, and culture. For in those days preceding mass education, degree holders were few, and there were marked differences between the educated and those with little or no schooling. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not enamored by worldly academics. He declared that materialistic knowledge converts the jiva into an ass. But he knew that if Bimala Prasad were to reach the leaders of society, he would have to be culturally attuned to them and be able to present Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message in a manner they could accept. Bimala's formal education commenced at an English school in Ranagat. In September 1880, he was admitted to Oriental Seminary in Calcutta. By age 7, he had memorized all the verses of Bhagavad Gita and could explain their meaning according to Vaishnava Siddhanta. You're pretty close. In 1883, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was transferred to Sriramapur, just outside Calcutta, and in October enrolled Bimala in the Union School there. In 1887, Bimala entered Metropolitan Institution in Calcutta, where he began to study Sanskrit grammar and Jyotish. Yet his scholarly aptitude was focused on the spiritual rather than mundane. Joining many cultured men at weekly Sunday meetings of Thakur Bhaktivinoda's Vishva Vaishnav Sabha, he listened earnestly as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur lectured on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the manuscript of which Bimala carried to and from the assembly. In 1885, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur apportioned part of Bhakti Bhavan for the Vaishnav Depository, which consisted of a library adjoined by a press called Sri Chaitanya Yantra, and thereupon resumed publication of Sajjana Toshini. He trained and engaged Bimala in all aspects of its printing and publishing, including editing, proofreading, typesetting, and operating the machines. Bimala even learned the mechanics of the presses, including detailed knowledge of all their components, and could diagnose and repair malfunctioning equipment. Also in 1885, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took Bimala along with other sons to visit a few places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Bengal. Arriving late one evening on the outskirts of Kulina Gram, a settlement whose former inhabitants were very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the father and sons were accorded repose in a temple. Next morning, upon entering the hamlet, they were asked by some local residents where they had come from and where they had spent the night. Upon hearing the answer, the village men amazedly asked, "How could you have slept? No one can stay there peacefully, for it's haunted by a Brahma Rakshasa who pitches stones and brickbats at anyone passing by after dusk." Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur replied, "Yes, that ghost did try to disturb us, but I loudly chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and he went away." Learning he was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whom they already knew of, some having read his books, the villagers became most obeisant and further questioned, "How did you quell that ghost by chanting Hare Krishna? Previously, he was the priest of that temple and he chanted Hare Krishna throughout his life. How did he become a ghost, and how could your chanting expel him?" Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur told them that the priest must have vibrated only the syllables of the name, thus producing a physical lip-deep sound lacking spiritual essence. When Bhaktivinoda asked about his character, they replied, "He was not good. He committed many sinful acts, but he used to recite Hari Nam almost constantly. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur further explained why the priests could not have been truly chanting. Sinful people, with their intention of acquiring wealth and reputation, make a show of kirtan. But that is merely cheating. As stated in Srila Jagadananda Pandit's Prema Vaivarta, Asadu Shange Bhai Krishna Nam Nahi Hoy Namak Shara Bahiroi Bhate Nam Kabu Noi. Those not in the association of authentic devotees cannot actually utter the holy names. Even though they may externally vibrate the sound Krishna, that is not actually the name of Krishna. When I went with the Hungarian devotees to the Mir Woods, we sat down in a grassy place just in the parking lot to have a picnic before we went inside. And as we were sitting there taking prasad, this big black pickup truck pulled into the parking lot, and he has windows down because it was a warm day, and the Hare Krishna mantra was going inside. Hare Krishna, Hare. It was a, you know, it's very popular nowadays. People chant everywhere. You know that, right? There are kirtans going on all across the United States. There are people who perform all kinds of kirtan. Many of them are impersonalist, and they don't know much about the philosophy or anything, but it's very, very popular. We just thought it was very interesting sitting there, and all of a sudden the Hare Krishna mantra came. Henceforth, all troubles caused by the specter ceased. Excuse me. The name of Krishna is non-different from him, thus completely pure and spiritual. Krishna Nam does not allow himself to be plundered by materialists. This man never actually chanted Hare Krishna, only Namaparadha. Because of severe offenses to the holy name, he became a ghost. The men then asked, can he ever be released from that wretched condition? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if he hears the real name or the proper explanation of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam from a bona fide sadhu who has genuine connection with Krishna, then he can be liberated from ghostly existence. Henceforth, all troubles caused by the specter ceased. The villagers then realized that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was himself that caliber of exalted sadhu whose pure kirtan had the power not only to exorcise unyielding ghosts, but to deliver the entire universe from the maelstrom of material life. Back in Calcutta, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur continued writing Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita and regularly read from the manuscript to Bimala and others. Bimala applied himself to his schooling, but concentrated more on studying the books of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, under whose guidance he also perused the Shandarbha of Srila Jiva Goswami and other Goswami literature. He excelled in Jyotish, specializing in technical aspects of the science rather than in prediction, and grasped the subject so thoroughly that he quickly outstripped many savants with decades of experience. During 1885, he invented a new phonetic system of writing called Bichanto, or Vikriniti, which subsequently was lost. Later, at age 12, he began studying the Upanishads under the tutelage of his Sanskrit professor. Bimala was becoming recognized as a nascent genius. Delighting in debates on many diverse subjects, his masterly command of knowledge and insight rendered him nigh undefeatable. And although generally respected and polite toward his mentors, as was the norm in those days, he was so dedicated to truth that he could not brook any misleading statements or misrepresentation of fact in any field and did not hesitate to expose insufficiencies in opposing positions, even if presented by honorable superiors. Mr. C. Little was a mathematics teacher assigned to teach physics to Bimala's class. He would read from the textbook three times, then say, I think all of you can understand this. He kept a list of the first three students' names, and looking at the list would ask questions. One day outside of class, he queried some students about the teachings of the Bible, knowing that most of them disliked having to learn it. But only Bimala was bold enough to pipe up. In your scripture, prayers like, give us this day our daily bread, resemble the outlook of Vida Shaktiyas, in this country. The Supreme Lord is the object of devotion, not the servant of us who have turned from him. Those who take his name, wanting him to serve them, have no devotion in their hearts. In 1888, Bimala Prasad started translating from Sanskrit to Bengali two classical astronomical treatises, Siddhanta Shiromani, which he completed and published in 1893, and in 1896, Surya Siddhanta, with its original Sanskrit verses and his own Bengali rendition. Recognizing his extraordinary proficiency and contributions in both Eastern and Western systems of astrology and astronomical calculations, specifically for his initial unpublished work on Surya Siddhanta, his tutors, Pandit Mahesh Chandra Chudamani and Pandit Sundaralal, conferred upon him the title of Sri Siddhanta Saraswati when he was just 15 years old. With trademark punch, his foreword to Surya Siddhanta delivered his abhorrence toward delusion and distortion of Shastriya truth. Quote, from time immemorial, Indians have been reputed among non-Indians as being well-versed in different types of sciences. Western scholars unanimously consider India the birthplace of mathematics. Upon studying the primeval reference books, Indologists marvel at the unlimited research found in the mathematically based Jyotish Shastra of the ancients of India. Among the 18 most respected and such astronomical manuscripts of Hoary India, Sri Surya Siddhanta is unanimously accepted as the oldest. Negligence has pushed this book to the verge of oblivion. Indians have always been lackadaisical about protecting the unbroken glory of their ancestors, and I do not expect that they will give that up upon the words of someone like myself. Nevertheless, being driven by my conscience, I take pleasure in presenting this version of the text along with a translation, devoting myself with utmost effort for the benefit of the today's Jyotishis and laics, even though I am incapable and of effectively doing so. At present, the majority of persons reputed as learned are averse to Shastriya understanding. They shamelessly promote themselves as knowledgeable in Shastra, even if totally unaware of its contents. The disease has taken the form of aversion and inordinate desire for honor. This evil has engulfed the Jyotirthas, and resultingly their work is incomplete and short-sighted. I have brought out this translation of Sri Surya Siddhanta with the hope of attracting the attention of really intelligent thinkers toward the study of astronomy. The Jyotirthas spend most of their life avidly expanding their bellies and have completely stopped cultivating the complex knowledge of mathematical Jyotish Shastra received in Guru Parampara. Additionally, they take the help of tables provided in different reference books, and without ever reading or even seeing Sri Surya Siddhanta, they continually quote it to defend their wrong conclusions, their wrong calculations. But considering how many of them have seen Sri Surya Siddhanta, we would become extremely disappointed were we to make a list of their names. Nowadays in India, a new brand of worshippers of Siddhanta have cropped up, who laud newly invented Siddhantas and care not for the tradition based on Surya Siddhanta. Although inexperienced and incomplete in their learning, these creators of Siddhantas are busily increasing their prestige by promoting themselves as pundits even before they have begun studying Jyotish Shastra. The main types include logicians, expert in public works, persons who deem themselves authorities in standard mathematics, individuals desiring to attain honor, who are proficient in promoting newfangled theories, and those who have mastered books by celebrated Jyotishis written for students. Among them, some follow only the chapter of Bhaskaracharya's Siddhanta Shiromani that discusses mathematical calculations. Some have received from their gurus a few formulas of the Western astronomers attained by as translations, and on that basis seek honor as astronomers, while thinking themselves genuine disciples of their gurus. Others, although ignorant even of solstice calculation, prefer to follow a particular independent-minded Western astronomy. I hope that by reading this original version, they become submissive to their own gurus, to the predecessor gurus of Bhaskar and others, and to him who gave intelligence to them all, the Rishi, who is the author of Sri Surya Siddhanta, and thus their internal burning pride may be extinguished. I have more to say about this, which will come in another essay. Some consider themselves experts in the mathematical calculations of Surya Siddhanta, and from time to time exhibit that by publishing their calculations and claiming that on the basis of their genuine abilities and studies in logic and other sciences, they are competent to reform astronomy. May Bhagavan bring them to the light, to the right path, and grant them faith in Dharma. They are comparable to a Muslim magistrate's impudently criticizing the Arya system of charity, thus transgressing his qualification and jurisdiction. Whatever the case may be, I must present this translation with adequate examples for the benefit of those muddled egoists and for general beginners in astronomy. A sample of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's writing. And this book, which is very well researched and extremely dense with nectar and information about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, was researched and written by Bhakti Vikas Swami, who is the Guru Maharaj of our very own Damodar Bamsidhari Prabhu, who's a great scholar in his own right. And we're lucky to have this book. I was thinking about it this morning when I was reading this, how fortunate we are that he took the time to put this entire book together. There's three volumes. If you don't have a set of these, you can get it, I'm sure, from Damodar. And it is really important to know the lives and characters of the previous acharyas, and to see how they are not ordinary, and also to find out the history of our Gaudiya Sampradaya. To have some perspective. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went through many struggles in his campaign to bring the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the world. In India, of course, at the time, as was even mentioned here, there were many upper sampradayas, or people who had strayed from the actual teachings of the Shastra and invented their own systems. There are long lists of them, actually. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, picking up the teachings and mood of his father, revolutionized the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, brought them to the world in a unique way, and spread them all over the world through his disciples, most notably Srila Prabhupada, who eventually, on the order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, or the suggestion, came to preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world. So we can learn a lot from studying his life and seeing that there was, that in preaching Krishna consciousness, it's not always easy. The story of him taking many of his devotees with him on pilgrimage. And because he was teaching that anyone could be elevated to the position of a Brahmin. In fact, Srila, previously, as it was mentioned, this Gaudiya Vaishnavism was obscured. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta innovated in many ways to bring it back to dignity. In fact, Vaishnavism is above the Varnashram system. One who becomes a Vaishnav is transcendental to Brahmanism. Brahmanism is within the Varnas and Ashrams. But one who becomes a Vaishnav is transcendental to being a Brahman. One who becomes a Vaishnav is automatically a Brahman. Yanamadeha Shravanadu Kirtanadyat Pravanadyat Smaranadapi Kachit Svado Pisadyo Savanaya Kalpate Kutak Punaste Bhagavanu Darshanat. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's ample evidence of this, that if someone becomes a Vaishnav through the proper system, then he becomes automatically qualified as a Brahmin. It's included within Vaishnavism, Brahmanism. However, at the time, generally Vaishnavs, when someone became a Vaishnav, when they took Vaishnav Diksha, they would take off their Brahmin's thread. They would, if they were sannyasis, they would take off sannyasi dress and put on Babaji dress, because basically they were saying, I'm giving up the Varnashram. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati changed that, because at the time there were many people who were simply imitating the Goswamis of Vrindavan, but living as debauchees. They were not actually following. In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentions, you can hear on some of his talks, how he was living in Vrindavan and he saw many people dressed like Rupa Goswami smoking bidis or selling bidis as a livelihood, and they're dressed like Rupa Goswami.